Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How you doing, Los Angeles? This is your girl, Monique Leray, on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. We just had some rain last night, which never happens.
No, never.
It never happens. And, you know, it's gorgeous. It's the first time ever. We never have water.
No.
You know what? We've got a great show for you guys today on International Women's Day.
All right.
I've got a couple fabulous international ladies. You're real international.
I'm quite international, yes.
So we have the amazing unicorn from Australia, the fabulous Alicia Antonio.
That is me. Hey, everybody. What's up?
Hey. And we have Janelle Alcantar. Did I say it right this time?
Just Alcantar. I think you kind of like
I put some extra on
it. Yeah, makes it a little extra.
That is quite international.
That's
too.
Okay.
I mean, right. We got Mexico, Australia, and Compton.
There you go.
I'm just kidding.
It's the United Nations.
Mexico? Right here. I'm not from Compton. Okay. But, you know, CPT. So okay, anyway. Where are you from? You're Spaniard or what?
I mean, there's so many generations here, but it's pretty much a mix from, like, European countries.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a lot of, like, my grandmother had red hair and my grandfather had blue eyes.
That's Spaniard, right?
It's like German, Irish, French.
Oh, okay.
And then Italian. We could be related.
Yeah, and then I get like the color, I think, from Native American Indian.
Nice.
Because my baby sister, her dad is white and she's blonde hair, blue eyes.
But yeah, we always have this. You have a mixed child, so we can get into it. And this is the startup. We're going to talk about businesses.
We're here talking Don't worry. About mixed children.
I know, but you know, hey, we got to make the kids to keep the business going, I guess.
That's true.
Someone's got to buy this stuff.
I'm paying for her.
Well, yeah, but they come in all colors, you know? You never know.
It's cool, actually, because I've been digging into my genealogy lately, and it's so fascinating because it's like, particularly when you get mixed families, you could have one kid who's like super white and then another one who's super dark, you know what I mean? Like, this genetics is so fascinating to me.
I love it. I'm recessive genes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Look at you. You went to school.
I mean, you know, I get it every day. They're like, you're black here? I'm like, yes, I'm black. Well, you don't look that dark.
Let's explain this again, shall
Didn't
we?
Didn't you go to school? I thought getting a GD was mandatory.
Can I tell you a funny story about people's impressions? So, you know, most people assume I'm my daughter's nanny because she's, you know, she's darker than me.
Yeah.
But then I got some weave in the holidays just for fun because I was trying to encourage her to do it, which didn't happen, to get the braids, and then I ended up with them.
Yeah.
But the minute I had my hair in braids, everyone's like, well, she's obviously your daughter. I'm like, now that I have braids in my hair, like,
I know.
Crazy,
it is crazy. I've never thought of it from your side of it.
So weird.
That's right, because here's this black kid, and then here's
you. I look like the help. And I also
look like the help.
And I also look 14, so.
You better go with your jeans.
I know, it's okay. I'm not mad about it.
Okay, you guys, listen. We are going to talk about business.
We will eventually.
All right, but we got that all out of the way. So today is International Women's Day. What does that mean? You know, women around the world doing their thing, encouraging each other to do business and just be bomb and continue to be bomb. I saw the Apple ad today with all the badass divas around the world.
You were telling me. I haven't seen it yet.
Amazing.
I want to
see it. Beyonce's jam is on there. I don't know if you guys. Okay.
Sweet.
We're going to have to check that out.
I'm looking that up in the
Looking that up. So Alicia Antonio, just in case you guys don't know who she is, we had Sean Antonio on the show the other week with he was amazing with his book and his coaching and his energy and his fire series and I've known these two forever. I see them at the Trader Joe's. I mean, we run into each other randomly,
LA it's a small big city.
It is.
Yeah.
It totally is.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you were in Miami with Sean for a while, weren't you? Or
no.
Was him there?
Oh no, we did actually. Yeah, we traveled when we did his book tour. But I mean, he grew up there. I mean, he's like. He was Miami.
He is Mr. Miami.
Yeah.
White pants and sandals.
Yeah. But he looked like Cisco for a while. He had the blonde hair thing, dancer vibe going, you know.
Hey. So introduce yourself. Tell everybody how we should know you and why we're going to know you if they don't know you.
Who doesn't know me? Come on. So I moved here. I'm an actor by trade, technically. But I also have a marketing degree. My parents were entrepreneurs. You know, I have seen their rise and fall. And so I've always had that passion for business and a very wild creative streak.
Yes.
But the reason why I, as an Australian, came to LA is because I'm an actor, because every Australian in LA is probably an actor.
Okay.
So that's that. So then I brought some of my books along because then I sort of segued that into books. I've written, you know, a kid's book. And then this one here is more of like a coffee table book about sensitive people, which I am one of those people.
Nice.
So that's that's the other thing. So then now I'm writing. Yeah, well, because I thought, you know...
What's the title, by the way? Let's sorry, just, in yeah. case they can't read it, and they, I don't know how they're going to read the book.
Yeah, good point. Let's just see. The Land of Nod is one of them. Sometimes I Drift Away is the second. And in fact, I've released a third. I just don't have a copy of it on me, called Shit I Wish Someone Had Told Me When I Was a Teenager.
I love that title.
Yeah, thank you. And then I'm working on a YA trilogy right now. So what? Writing, I'm very passionate about writing and storytelling, you know, and so that's my way of staying in that vein of telling stories that move people now that I'm not focusing on acting. Because I knew that when my daughter was born, I wanted to be able to be, you know, a stay-at-home mom and be there for her the way my mom was. And acting is one of those gigs that, like, I can be 90, thank you. And, you know, I can still work. So it's not,
that's right.
not a big deal. So that's keeping my creative juices flowing. But then, you know, on the side, I run like 27,000 other businesses for fun, and I like a real squirrel that way. And I'm like, ooh, let's dip our toe into this. And so the reason I'm here today is because I just launched a shoe brand today.
Congratulations. We need the little clap emoji sound emoji.
Yeah, you really do. For International Women's Day. So it's called The Matriarchy. I'm going to say that like an American. Otherwise, you'd be like, what's The Matriarchy? Yeah.
How do you say it the European way?
The Matriarchy. Like, we just don't say ours in Australia, and I think it confuses people. Yeah. Every time I go to a McDonald's, I'm like, can I get a Big Mac? And they're like, we don't know what that is. I'm like, the burger that you built your entire... The Big Mac. Like, how else do I say
this? The Golden Arches.
Yeah. So my accent can get confusing. The Matriarchy.
The Matriarchy.
Yeah.
Well, so tell us, because you did do reality. I think that's how I met you. Well, I met you through Sean, and Sean and I, we already rehashed the whole reality thing. We ran amok through.
Yeah.
How would we know you? Did you do any of those shows?
Yeah.
I mean, we all have. We all have.
I did. I did Jerry Springer's Baggage.
What?
Yeah.
What was that? I don't remember that.
You don't remember? Oh, my God. It was terribly awesome. you know, you do things when you need to pay rent as an actor.
Handle that, yeah.
So it was a dating show that Jerry Springer segued into when he gave up his show, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But, like I said, terrible. So the whole concept is that you present the worst sides of yourself first, and then see, and then they pick based on like who they don't want to date. So then there's like three bags. So then you pick. So there's like three pieces of information that you drop, and one's like a small like carry-on luggage size. Like, oh, that's weird, but okay, I can live with that. And then there's like the medium baggage, and then there's like the big drop baggage if you get down to the final two, which I did. And he didn't pick me, and I was so sad about it. And then I took my check and I went home.
I heard that you were the big baggage.
Yeah, well, so my...
Which bag were you?
Yeah, well, no, you have... Each contestant has three, so you're revealing these terrible things about yourself.
Oh, I see.
Of which all of mine were lies, and I'm sorry to ruin television for people, but...
Don't ruin it, Alicia. Didn't you sign something, girl? When is that?
Yeah, it was
when
years is ago, that I'm up? Sure. You
know. Is that train... Is that
I'm sure that train's not late. Station. That was a very long time ago.
I was hoping it was real, because I think I do that in real life. It's like, here's all my bad.
Yeah.
You don't get to see my good unless you can...
Yeah.
I have a friend that did that, but she would do not a lot of makeup, and she'd just kind of come like crummy. And then if he graduated to a second date with her,
that's smart,
she
though.
Upped her game a little. And then by the third date, she had the red bottoms on and the full glow.
I kind of like that because then you're not disappointing them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you can see me level up.
Yeah.
I know.
What a great segue. Speaking of leveling up, Janelle, tell everybody, because you were here a few weeks ago.
Yes.
She's back, you guys. I called in the person that I knew could help you, because everybody's freaking the F out about AB5, and I called the most calm money person I could think of, and that was Janelle. We couldn't get you last week. She had something to do, and I called somebody else, but they were unavailable. I was like, no, I'll wait for Janelle, and you're here. So Level Up Change, tell everybody about your brand and what you do in case they missed you last time.
Okay, sure. So Level Up Change, it's a newer company coming up. And the whole concept around it is that pretty much every day we're faced with different changes that we can make. And in those moments, you're either going forwards or backwards. So you can either take that opportunity to, make a choice to be better in that moment. And it's just all those little incremental steps that help you kind of get to the next level of where you're trying to ultimately go. So pretty much that's kind of the basis of it. But the big focus right now is on finances and credit and financial stuff. And that's pretty much it. So we're focusing on that and helping people take that personally, and then also to help fund their own businesses and kind of get things going for them when they have maybe no other options in their mind to go to. There's actually options right in front of them.
I love that.
Can I ask a question? Is this for anyone, or is this for women in particular?
It's for anybody.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to exchange math, right? Because...
I've even got like 18-year-old clients.
Great.
You got to grab them when you got to get them when they're young, right?
Yeah.
Well, and you know what I would say, you know, as someone who migrated here, yeah. you know, because I was like 27 when I moved here. What I get about this country is it's not great at teaching financial literacy.
No.
You know?
Yes.
Like, and things that seem normal to me growing up in Australia, I get here and I'm like, you don't know how to do what now? Like, you know, like it's 100%. Weird.
What, yeah. Give us an example of a class that you guys had back in Australia that we definitely don't have here. Yeah. Or...
Well, I would say, like, in year 10 economics, I mean, we got taught to balance a checkbook.
Yeah, we got that.
Oh, you did?
We got that.
Oh, really?
But it was like a day. It was like a day.
Yeah, yeah. The problem I find internationally is that you guys don't have access to credit the way we do. And so we're not taught how to handle that properly. So we just completely jump off the deep end before we even know how to handle it or manage it.
Have a good old time with it.
Actually, that's kind of true. I would say this because I had a great, like, I didn't get a credit card till I was 24, and I had a lot of fun with that, actually. Like I said, I look 14, and certainly in my early 20s, I probably look 10. You know, and I worked for a big company at that time, and I made quite a good wage. And actually, you know, it's hysterical. I was trying to fund building a shoe wardrobe for myself.
Oh.
And so I'm like, I need to get myself a credit card. And I walked into the branch in like sweats, you know, in the middle of the day because I was, you know, home on my vacation. And, you know, I went to the branch manager. I'm like, oh, I want to open a credit card. And she looked at me. She goes, well, you have to be 18 and you have to earn $20,000 a year to open a credit card. And I looked at her and I'm like,
here's my ID. What you want to do?
I'm like, well, that's good because I make like $50,000 a year and I'm 22. So can we talk now? Dude, this woman like almost fell all over herself. She's
I love
so
when that happens. And I love when you come in dressed like the way you want
yeah,
to be
just
dressed.
Like, no, I'm just but, doing you. But this is the point. But at yeah. least there was that first, you know, they weren't just like, oh, cool, you're 14. We'll just lie and, you know, get you a credit card anyway kind of deal. It was there's definitely a gatekeeper, I would say, in Australia for sure.
That's interesting. I think that you guys are both right. And in the sense of, and how I would like to see it go forward, especially you have a young daughter, is when your kid gets to school, elementary, or, you know, maybe junior high, I would say a business class, like a mandatory entrepreneur class. Like, even if you're not going to have your own business, if you're going to run somebody else's business or work at a business, you should know how business works.
Or at least, I think, so what we're really implementing, especially to the younger ones and older ones, because they just don't get it. And they're like, oh, I have 2 credit cards. I'm so good with them. It's like, that's great. You have that, but that's actually hurting you. So it's like at a young age, obviously don't go buck wild with the credit that you get, but it's like creating that foundation of large lines of credit that can, some of them can be compounded into one, and then being able to utilize what the credit card offers are, like pumping that all into a 0%, and like you already have it, you've already spent the time to build it. So when you actually have like a business project or something you want to do, or you want to put something down on a house, like you can't even do that with it, you can just tap right into that and it's there for you. So it's like this one kid, he's in the Navy. And he just signed up with me. He's like, I want to do that. I want to be ready when the recession hits. You know, what do I need to do? You know, and so we got his first 2 cards and he got an instant like 25K just added to his portfolio. But he's already really responsible.
Yeah.
Nice.
So stuff like that. So it's just even being young, you don't need to touch it. It's not hurting you.
Yeah.
But it's there for you to use when you want to move forward using other people's money.
Yeah.
That's how they do it.
Maybe that should be the name of your business. Other people's money.
Other people's money.
Just kidding.
Everyone would sign
Everybody
up.
Else.
Well, you know what? Right. And I just thought, actually, one thing that is very different, I would say, about Australia is there's not as high level of pressure to go straight to college.
Oh.
You know, so we're very much like the UK. We encourage our young to take a gap year. You know what I mean?
Nice.
So when you finish high school, you're kind of encouraged to, like, go see the world, live a little. And I think sometimes when you can see other cultures and get perspective, it shifts your mindset. Like, I think
that is different.
That's more powerful than really anything.
Yeah.
And I know that Europeans are like that, too, because Sean's mom, he's... like her parents, so his grandparents had said that to all the kids, and there were like 10 of them or something. They're like, okay, you graduated in Aruba. Here's 20 grand. Go see the world.
I love that.
Start in Amsterdam, see the family, and
it's
then
like the
don't
Amish
come back
way.
Is it? I
don't know. It's the Amish way. Like, go get out of here.
Did
and
I?
See the world in your big outfit.
I did that by myself, naturally.
I
lived in Australia.
The Amish
there you go.
And
you
lived
did?
In New York.
Yeah, there you go.
Instead of like, okay, you're 18. What do you want to be when you grow up? You're like, my brain's not
There's
even
too much
developing.
Pressure on that.
But
I think
I agree with that. I like
you know
what you're saying.
I'm 37, right?
Ooh, hey,
telling everybody, hey,
happy birthday!
Actually, it's 2 months away.
Okay.
So yeah, not long now. But, you know, like, I'm not doing now what I thought I would be doing. You know what I mean? And, like, okay, I have a marketing degree and I am using that in my businesses, but I'm not what I thought that trajectory would look like. And I have had so many careers and so many things that it's like,
but
you can't tie yourself down to one degree. Unless you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, then absolutely go to college.
But you make a good point, especially if you're a creative type. Have that basis, that marketing background. Have that business. You can't hurt yourself getting a business degree straight out. If you must make a decision, probably go ahead and get the business degree.
Yeah, do that.
I mean, or economic. But you're the creative artsy type that you're going to always use those elements.
Basic skills.
And everything.
100%. And 100%. I definitely still do that, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So what would you ladies say to all of the... And this is for guys, too, but today's, you know, International Women's Day. So what would you say to those international ladies out there, the young ladies, the any age ladies that are trying to start up and they are not quite sure what they want to do? They've got that pros and cons list. This is the stuff I like. This is the stuff I don't like. You remember that list that you had to do, or the little bubble?
Yeah.
Thought bubble. You know, they know what they like and they're 18 and they've got that pressure. They're they don't have that off year. Mm-hmm. And they've got that pressure to make a decision now that parents want to know.
Yeah.
What would you say? What kind of guidance would you give them?
Well, don't. First of all, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I personally, and I'm not saying don't plan, because I think, like, what you're talking about is really fabulous. But, like, I don't think you should be making snap decisions about your future at 18. I'm very anti that. But what I would say is, you know, follow your passions.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. Like, if you're passionate about it, the money will come. And I know that people say that and blah, blah, blah.
But it's so true.
It's so true. You know, and I followed the corporate path and I made the big bucks when I was young and I had the house and all this stuff. And then I turned around and I wasn't happy.
You're miserable.
I wasn't fulfilled. Yeah. And I worked for one, you know, I used to work for Jack Daniels. That's the best company to work for, honestly. I had a blast.
That's cool.
But
he had a blast and a bus.
Yeah, exactly. Good. But, you know, but it still wasn't, it wasn't me, because it wasn't my thing. So so follow that thing that is your thing, that only you can do, that nobody else can do, that you are passionate about, that you love, and figure out a way to monetize that.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah,
I love that.
I think, I mean, if they're that young, it's like you have so much opportunity in front of you. So yeah, definitely don't box yourself in. You know? And I think anxiety and stress is just so high and prevalent amongst young people right now. It's hard.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think as a young person, definitely continue down the path of personal development. And invest in that. Always invest in your personal development and, you know, being better about yourself, and that'll help you kind of find things. But like I said, with the program that I have, setting up a financial foundation, you can do that literally anytime. Like, as you're older, you might wish you would have done it sooner and not have gotten into some certain situations that you did, but you can get yourself out of those bad derogatory situations and continue. It's not that hard to actually build out that portfolio. So I think you can do that at any age.
And don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to ask questions about credit and learn. It's okay to get some things. Enjoy your life, but don't, like you said, go buck wild.
And you know what I would say, though, too? Be a rule breaker in a respect. You know, because you look at, right, so when we were growing up, right, the types of jobs that were available and careers and trajectories that were in front of us are not what is, like, there's a whole frontier of ways to make income that didn't exist 5 years ago. It didn't
crazy
exist
income streams now,
you know, and crazy income streams. So, you know, and it's because these younger generations have broken the rules. And, you know, like, I don't know if you got, do you know the story of Netflix, which I find endlessly fascinating?
Yes, but tell it again.
Yeah. So, you know, so these guys had built Netflix and then they approached Blockbuster and they're like, hey, buy us out. And, you know, and Blockbuster all like schmommy and like, no,
they're getting
you,
my
basically.
Late fees, they don't care.
Whatever. But they didn't see what was coming and Netflix did, and then now Blockbuster don't exist and Netflix are like,
isn't that crazy?
But these guys, and I read, and they had struggles, you know what I mean? And like, you got to understand, even if you've planned out and you've got financial literacy and support, you are still going to struggle. You are going to be down to your last cent. You're going to put everything on credit and like roll the dice and hope it comes up your way. And I will tell you, I have failed a million times. And
now you're doing good.
But that's what makes me an excellent entrepreneur, because I'm not afraid of failure.
Well, that's
to
key.
That point, to that point. Absolutely right. But as you have those financial foundations, once you get them established enough, that's where like actually having a corporation comes in.
Totally.
And then you're able to, based on your personal portfolio, build out that business portfolio, take those risks and chances and have those established relationships with the bank, especially if you start young, you've got years.
Yeah.
You got so much, then they're like, wow, okay. Okay, you've had credit for, you know, whatever, 12 years already.
And then you don't have to eat at Del Taco.
There's a calculator.
That's good. Yeah.
And then, okay, well, the business suffers, not you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all part of that progression. And that's why it's like it doesn't hurt you just in your personal, like, people have over like 100,000 worth of credit. Like, you can't just go be like, I'm going to go get a Bentley. Like, that's where it's
want to, though.
I mean, I've seen the Susie Orman show denied. When you've got like 100 grand, you still can't get it. You know?
Dude, I mean, I read a crazy article where, and I feel like it was somewhere in the Midwest, but like they were, you know, because they're so car manufacturer, car dealers are hit pretty hard the last few years and they've been overstocked. Yeah. And so what they've been doing is they've been fudging numbers to approve loans for people, but like they're like, okay, this woman makes $600 a week and the loan is for 800 and something. I'm like, how did you get that?
Because I mean,
you're putting this woman $200 in the hole.
Yeah, they don't care. They give like, zeros. They give zero F's.
Meanwhile, they knock me back and I'm like, I can afford it.
That's,
you know,
the
what I mean?
Isn't that crazy? Crisis all over again in the auto industry.
Oh, dude, yeah, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming real hard.
Well, you know what? You guys are making really great points, and the, you know, making mistakes in the past really make you a badass entrepreneur. And speaking of which, because today Alicia, she launched her shoe line. Yeah. I'm going to read from you the matriarchy.
The
matriarchy.
Matriarchy.
How do I say it?
Matriarchy.
The matriarchy.
So like patriarchy?
Patriarchy. Matriarchy. Okay, now I'm all messed up.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, the matriarchy shoes are sweet kicks for ill-behaved women. And she spells women with an X.
Yeah.
Who are fresh out of F's. Uh-huh. The matriarchy women do things their way no matter what people say. The matriarchy woman do things their way no matter what it costs. No apologies, no regrets. Long live the matriarchy.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but this heel is everything.
Dude,
I don't
bomb.
Know if you guys can see it.
You probably can't.
I should pull it up in the other screen.
Oh, wow.
On my other screen. That one's broken. You guys have to check it out. Alive.
Yeah, that's sick. I'm not going to lie.
That is awesome.
AliveShoes.com.
I need some of those.
Is it AliveShoes.com?
So AliveShoes.com/brand/the matriarchy.
Oh, for the hell of... Okay, so can we just type in the matriarchy in Google?
You probably could, yeah. Or just go to Instagram. The matriarchy kicks is my Instagram.
And it's spelled like kicks.
Kicks, yeah. Like
the matriarchy kicks.
So it's not just... Yeah, so you looked at the heel. I've got two sneakers. So I released it.
I want some sneakers.
Yeah, so I released it. Here, let me have a look.
Let's see.
So I released a 3-shoe collection today.
Ooh, the Jennifer.
The Jennifer, the Greta, and the Nancy. So
I love it. Who are these gals?
Nancy,
do you have a story?
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh,
Jennifer Lopez and Greta Thunberg.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So, and that was the inspiration. You know, so when I was coming up with the concept for this brand, I'm like, okay, what do I want to achieve? Because I, like I said, I love shoes. This is really just a passion project for me.
Heck yeah.
I've got so many other
things.
That's
why you're going to make a lot of money off the passion
project. I'm like, goddamn, this is going to blow up because I don't have enough time to dedicate to it, but I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to design shoes that I want to wear. I want them to be quality. So these are all handmade in Italy, purely limited edition. You only have 30 days to pre-order them. You know, these shoes will last forever and a day. It's all leather. The Greta is actually non-vegan, non-cruelty leather.
That's good. Animal friendly.
Yeah. So just beautiful, beautiful shoes that will last forever. But I'm like, okay, what is the brand story? What is this about? Who am I as a person? Like I said, I really advocate for people kind of pushing boundaries and breaking the rules, because what I've learned in my time as an entrepreneur, sometimes when you just like, okay, well, I'll do what the system tells me, you lose. You lose every time.
Every time.
You know what I mean? Because the house wins, right?
So
you're like, okay, sometimes you just got to think outside the box. And so I started thinking about women and you may have noticed I read a lot. Like, I read a lot of articles. I read about the economy. I read about what's going on in societies. It's very fascinating to me. And, you know, I just noticed, like, where we're at this stage, and I feel like it's a watershed moment for us. You know, you've got Me Too and Time's Up, and, you know, finally people are being held accountable for their actions when you're talking about predatory men and things like that. And so there's this movement forward, but at the same token, there's still this pushback. And, you know, and, like, the thing that really spoke to me was a couple of things. So one, Greta Thunberg, you have this amazing 16-year-old girl who is so passionate about climate change, and she's 100% right in what she's doing, and she started this movement. And then you have the president of the United States of America bullying this child. Like, what the hell are you doing?
It's not even, we can't even on the startup.
Yeah,
we can't even start up.
We can't even, exactly. So that's the first thing. Then you talk about Jennifer Lopez. This woman in her 50s looks better than I will ever look in my life. Like, let's be real, people. Like,
I need to work on my pole workout, because after the Super Bowl,
dude,
good Lord.
It's
you
insane.
Could do, yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Gangster.
Like, right? And fabulous. And then, and what surprised me actually was the pushback from the women, and they're like, oh, well, that's not cool for kids. I'm like, you don't care when Adam Levine had his shirt off. Like, don't make it something it's not. You know what I mean?
But so it spoke to you to launch this brand in the name of?
I'm like, hey, so I'm like, these women. And then Nancy Pelosi, you know, I think, again, not to go political, but I just think this woman, I don't agree with everything she does, but I think she's in a very difficult position, you know, where she's at. And, you know, she has to take a stand. And what I admire and respect about all three of these women is that they stick to their own moral compass according to their values, and they do what they know is right. And I believe that people like that, when history looks back on them, will go, wow, that woman had an impact on culture and history because she did what she believed was right. She didn't listen to everyone else. She didn't worry about the haters. She didn't worry about the pushback, and she just did it, you know, and that implemented change. And so this is my contemporary collection, because like I said, that's what really sparked it, thinking about those women.
Great.
So then my next collection will be the classic collection. So then I have design shoes inspired by Rosa Parks, by Amelia Earhart, and by Catherine Parr, who was Henry VIII's last wife, who, doing my genealogy stuff, I discovered is my cousin.
That's Are you effing kidding me? No. Did she get bedhead or bewed? What was it? Bedhead?
She survived. He died. She survived.
What?
She's the one who's...
Well, that would be your cousin, the one that survived.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that's definitely the one.
Are you kidding? That's badass.
Yeah, so I'm like, so... And but the reason why I... I'm inspired by her, you know, because the impact that she had for women, which is so beautiful also too with my writing stuff. So she was actually the first woman in England in 1545. She wrote a book under her own name. Now, at that time, if you know about that.
You can't do that. You have to take the surname, right?
No. They were writing under men's names. And so there's a lot of conjecture, actually, that William Shakespeare is probably a woman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wouldn't that be something? Yeah. I'm sure you'd be the one to write the script for
100%.
That.
Well, I mean, they kind of did with Shakespeare in Love. It's sort of similar to that. So that was my homage to her, first of all, as a distant relative, but also because she's the first woman who go, because I'm royal, I can do what I like, and I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be under my own name. And now here I am, generations later, doing it.
That's you guys, so cool. That is, that. You know what, if you didn't, you don't have to agree with all the people in her collection, but definitely check out her shoes.
And I don't either, let's be honest. Like I said, it's more about respecting... you know, the belief system and the power.
The inner compass.
Yeah, 100%.
So check out our shoes, because there's something in there for everybody. Yeah. And it just launched today. Do you have any promo codes today? Or are you coming up with some maybe you can come back and tell us about?
No, I'd love to. But you know what? They're exclusive.
Great. What's the price point range? Because I know you're expensive, honey.
Yeah, $189 to $214.
Okay, so you'll treat yourself. It's a birthday shoe.
It's a birthday shoe. But like I was saying to you, I mean, look, you know.
Hey.
Ultra just got canceled. You're not catching a flight or a cruise anyway. Take that travel money and buy something.
There you go. I'm still traveling. I'm the knucklehead that's still traveling.
Yeah, I would too. But that'd be cool,
so. And by the way, you can get some really great steals. You know about some good flights right now. What?
Yeah. That's how bad it is.
Crazy.
Okay, I don't know about that one. We're going to have to talk about that offline. Now, let's shift gears a little, because I want to touch on this AB5. Mm-hmm. This AB5 thing, I know nothing about it, and I'm coming from a freelancer's world and, you know, day players, whenever. So let me just explain to the listeners and viewers, in case you don't know about, like, and we touched on it a little bit with Sean here, but us producers and casting people, we get hired, by production companies to do these shows. So they'll say, here, 4 weeks, I need you to cast this show, here's the budget, go, and you're hired. And you have to find these people for the show. So we are usually 1099'd, or, you know, we're just day players. So we're there week by week, and we do what we do. Yeah. I mean, back in the day with Blind Date, I think it was like, you get it per head, right? Or fifth wheel. It was different.
Sean, yeah.
Yeah, it was different that way. So AB5 came into effect, I think, a few months ago in California. And it affects the Uber drivers, the Lyft drivers, and those day-playing people, right? And so I think the state of California wants any freelancers that are working under that umbrella to be employees. And that disrupts the math for a lot of day players because, you know, emphasis on free, freelancing. Mm-hmm. So what do you know about it, Janelle, that you can...
We were talking about this.
Yeah.
When we were together a few weeks ago.
Yeah, this is why you're here, because I want you to...
She just tells me this.
You better really brushed up on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, as far as the LLCs and things, I know in California you have to pay $800 a year just to have the opportunity to have an LLC here. You know?
Yes. Yeah,
what do you know about the structuring of this?
What were we talking about when we were talking about this before? Refresh my memory on what I had said. to you.
Well, you just said that there's a way to work around it, but I don't know what it is. I thought you were going to come talk to me about that. I text you this. We're not. Hey, we keep it real here on the startup. Yeah, we're starting up right now.
And I don't understand as much.
I remember because I was pretty heated about that.
You were pissed about it.
I was mad about it.
And were you mad about having a workaround?
Yeah, no, but she was just mad about the law. We talked about some personal stuff, but.
Well, but isn't it more of an issue, less so for the freelancers, but more for the corporations? Because if they're going to have to employ people, then you're talking about benefits and all this stuff. I mean, that makes Uber and DoorDash and all this stuff sort of obsolete. I mean, they're not, with those kind of costs, the whole point is having a gig economy. Like, that's what they built it on.
I mean, I think it's, what we were talking about was it was being talked about, but it's being, like, vehemently
opposed.
Like, it's not really here, and everybody's getting really crazy about stuff.
Yeah.
I remember, we were talking about, you know, there were some people that I knew that were just, like, kind of going in a tailspin.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people getting
just
crazy.
Just getting, and it's like you're getting in this tailspin before you actually need to.
Know what it is.
Yeah, and
What are the dings, though? Like, okay, well, I know someone that, like, personally, I know someone that, rightfully so, that they lost their job because of this. Like, they lost their main source of income because of this. And I still haven't been able to have a conversation with them, but that hits home. Like, if you're that's your main thing.
As a freelancer?
Yeah, like, they're a freelancer. And they're in the music industry. I've got to, like, speak to them.
But as far, I think we're talking about Uber when we talk, because I don't know anything really about, like, the music industry or anything or how that necessarily works. But I think as far as what we were talking about with the whole Uber situation, that's really being pushed back against.
Yeah.
Because it's going to affect not only the employees.
It would shut down these companies.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to affect.
They're not going to have that.
Well, yeah, no. Uber big time. No. So,
yeah.
But then, you know, it's, I always find this kind of stuff really fascinating too, because then this kind of goes back to what I was saying about the younger people who just broke rules by starting these, you know, you look at Bird, for example, they're just like, we don't have any permits. We're just going to throw some scooters on the street. And then, you know, you talk about legislators had to kind of struggle to catch up, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing. But then there is a delicate balance, because I think that, you know, these companies are winning big time for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I think some of these people don't know they're being taken advantage of, or don't know that they're really not making a lot of profit. You know what I mean? It kind of goes back to what you're talking about in terms of planning and stuff. Like, if you don't really understand your write-offs and tax law and all this stuff, I mean, or if you're, you know, driving a BMW to Uber people, like, you're losing money. You're not making money. You know what I mean? Especially when you're talking about your cost, like, run, because
like, to change a tire on a BMW is insane.
Yeah.
Or to get to.
That's what we were talking
about, was the more of the tax laws behind it, and how people were getting kind of crazy about the whole 1099 thing and the super strict laws that are going into that. Like, pretty much, I think the whole thing with Uber is, like, you can't 1099, like, they get to do what they want, how they want, where they want. You can't give them any type of, like, curriculum or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, and then I think now it's all coming back to me, because I was in the Costco parking lot.
She's been a busy lady here.
She's like, I've had 1,000 conversations this week.
Well, you know what? Also, on the other side of what you're saying, I think I've had some conversations with, like, people who are in between school or raising a kid. And they're like, I can jump in the car and make a few bucks too.
Totally.
And it has to make sense, though, with your overhead.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're driving a BMW, it's got to make.
I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
if you're gigging.
And I know, because, like, and I've gigged, you know what I mean? Because there's so many, that's the beauty about this city. Like, if you need to make some quick cash, you can do it in a day. I actually wrote an online course about that.
Ooh.
But, yeah, right.
What's the link to that?
It's Alicia Knows Stuff. It's on Teachable.
Nice.
It's called Alicia Knows Stuff.
Teachable's
just Google
so
it.
Great.
It's Love so that. Amazing.
Yeah.
You do know stuff.
Yeah, I do. But so many random stuff. So that's why I'm like, I'm just going to have one school where I just put, you know.
Master of none.
I tell people how to self-publish books. Anything you want to know, I can do it. I'm just going to write some
You should have, like, a mental yard sale.
Dude, seriously, I don't have enough hours in the day. But what was I talking about? Oh, making money. And so I've done that, you know, but I've also known that, like, is it really worth me driving to the Valley to make 60 bucks cash? No, but, like, I need that money today.
And
you know,
if you're already
I mean?
Going to get another bag,
yeah.
You can make a bag on your way to get a bag. And I think that it's connecting the dots.
Yeah, and so, but you have to be really, you have to be pretty switched on. And some people are just like, oh, I can make this full-time money. I'm like, yeah, but after you back out your expenses, dude, like, you're making $12,000 a year, you're better off going back to work at McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, and some people sort of aren't. So there does need to be a layer of protection. I assume that's what this law is trying to do. I think it's noble cause, but also, you know, the government doesn't always get it right. And then also too, these companies, I mean, can we push them out of the marketplace? No, because now they are too valuable. You know what I mean? So it needs to be kind of a balance.
And you know, here's a great case for having Uber and Lyft still in the building is that, you know, you can't you can't deny the DUI, the difference there, you know, the ride sharing, you know, families getting, you know, having kids going to ballet practice and kids going to track practice. And, you know,
what I would say though, is this, you know, when I first got introduced to Uber actually through a celebrity friend of ours, we're at a bar in Hollywood and she's like, I'm going to call my Uber. We're like, what is an Uber?
I know.
And she's like, oh, well, you know, like in Australia, we call them town cars. I don't know what you call it, but like you guys in black SUVs. Because they're town like, because it started basically with guys who were just waiting around to ferry celebrities, and they're like, "Well, let's help them make a few
with the
extra
Lincoln
bucks.
Town car."
Yes,
yeah,
there love you
go. It. Yeah, so she's like, oh, "I'm gonna get an Uber." The guy comes and picks me up. I'm like, "That's a great concept," and then it sort of went into the mainstream. But initially, it was a lower cost way to do it, and to be honest, now it's not so different from a taxi.
Oh no, Lo, don't get me started on a taxi, girl.
Like,
don't get me started on a taxy.
I'm not saying taxis are a great alternative. Guys. But financially, it was a better incentive. And now I'm like, hey, I'm just paying as much as I would have for a taxi. Like, you basically just came in, like, lowballed them and then pushed them out, and then now you're sky high. So, I have to say my Ubering's gotten less and less because I'm like, it's not financially super viable for me now anymore as a consumer either.
Yeah. I think it's spread now from the rideshare stuff to other parts of people's life. So we'll have to brush up on it. I will tell you guys, though, that the status is it's in effect as of January 1st of 2020 in California. I don't know about any other states. Newsom put it into, he signed it into law, which I love me some Newsom, but hey, you know, no one's perfect. The Assembly voted on it on 9/11 of 2019.
Do you know what the bullet points are in terms of what AB5 does for freelancers?
Yeah, let's go over it. California Assembly Bill 5, or AB5, is a state statute that codifies into law and landmark Supreme Court of California case Dimex Operations West, Inc. versus Superior Court. In that case, the court held that most workers or employees ought to be classified, such as the burden of proof for classifying individuals as independent contractors belongs to the hiring entity. AB5, entitles workers classified as employees to greater labor protections, such as a minimum wage laws, sick laws, sick leave laws, unemployment, and workers' compensation benefits, which do not apply to independent contractors. Concerns over employee misclassification, especially in the gig economy, drove support for the bill, but it remains divisive. So there's a lot to it. I think that as for me, and this, I don't know if this is just the way I was brought up. If I'm going to be doing something and I'm loving it, I'm going to have to take on the responsibility to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes my health insurance and making sure the employees or whoever is handled. And that's just me. I know everybody thinks differently. I guess we'll just continue the conversation. And you're going to give me some more bullet points, right? I mean, in this tax season, what should we do? What are you thinking?
I mean, I'm of two minds on this one because I feel like you're right. I feel like you should be able to have control. But again, I feel like they're trying to change this to protect the people who don't understand, and particularly who are like, oh, well, it's good. It's all good until you get cancer or, like, you know what I mean? Like, until you need, like, healthcare and you don't have healthcare or you don't have, like, any, what do you call it here, 401k, you know what I mean? Because you've been in the gig economy and then you're like, oh, I really wish I'd known. And that's when services like yours come into play.
Yeah.
But then, you know, maybe, because like I said, and I would have to read up on it to see what it really, how it's changing things. But, you know, maybe it's that they have to have some sort of fund, you know what I mean, to be able to provide for that. Because, I mean, they're right. Because if you are like, well, cool, I make a killer income in a gig economy and you're steaming ahead, but then you break a leg and you can't drive for Uber and you're off for 6 weeks, I mean, you're screwed, you know?
Does that go back to education?
Yeah.
Does that go back? Yeah. That goes back to, like, let's, you know, here are the options in life.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a gig or a freelancer, these are the things you need to be equipped with, knowing that you're going to need
Right. So then this needs freelancing.
Freelancing, emphasis on free, right? Yeah. I mean, it goes back to education. But you guys, email me, message me on Instagram. Let's have a dialogue about this. We're going to revisit this. Yeah. There's a lot of freelancers in LA.
I say 99% of us.
The other thing we were talking about was as far as like those, you know, 1099 people and freelancers people, it's like a lot of them are kind of going through and a lot of people don't see the importance of actually having like a proper accountant. Because there are a lot of laws.
That's right on time. Tax season.
There are a lot of laws attached to what's kind of going on. And I think that's where it was. I really can't jog my memory because I remember I was talking to someone. Our conversation was so hot because I had gotten into some detailed conversation about tax and accounting and the other laws that are connected to it and how it worked. And it was so intricate in a way that it just it's out the window.
We're going to come back. That's okay, because tell everybody now, because today is the 8th of March. And tax season. It is International
and
Women's Day.
And taxes
all in one. So we've got about a month and some change. So tell people what you offer in that vein. And are there any new deductions or any new things we can be looking out for? Or any tips that we could have for tax season?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you know, but I don't know what's new for other people because there's always been a standard just because I'm in it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, you got this and this and this. But
give us some.
But it's changed a lot in the last couple of years, right? I know that my CPA is like always away at conferences and
what is she saying to you? Curious.
Well, I haven't spoken to her in a while, but
she's at a conference.
No, because she just, I'm like, please handle that because it's just not, I'm a creative. Don't talk to me on that one of this. I wouldn't say this year. We haven't had an in-depth conversation about it. But I know that I'd say last year, especially with this current administration and like changing the tax laws, that was a nightmare for her. I don't know how it is, but she's just like, she's really had to get her head in re-educating and studying and learning. And then it's so complicated because then you think about the old way, but then there's a new way. And like, I think it just confuses the hell out of everyone.
I think that's hard for an entrepreneur because you're trusting this accountant to go through all these different things.
Yeah.
And so I found in my personal experiences with these different accountants and tax people and CPAs, there's things, and as an entrepreneur, there comes to a point, it's like you want to be artistic with your craft, but sometimes you are, as an entrepreneur, you're getting in these conversations with other entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. so things kind of stand out. So there were things that I was seeing and kind of just overviewing. As an owner, you should always overview your finances no matter what.
Yeah, 100%.
You never leave that to anybody else. And it's like, did you think about maybe doing this with this, or, you know, maybe writing off this because this was this? And there are some major things that they kind of forget. I mean, just the typical stuff.
Travel, hotel, airfare, mileage, car.
Well, also,
your office space.
Which is standard, I think, for any entrepreneur or freelancer. But then the problem is the nitty-gritty. You know what I mean? As an actor, mm-hmm. right? Then suddenly you've got hair and makeup. You've got photographs, and all this stuff.
What we were talking about, too, was about people not keeping proper records.
Yeah.
It's like they just think, oh, just, you know, I'll say this. And it's like at the end of the day, I mean, I know that I'll use my mom. She's brilliant. She's just so brilliant. I don't know how it happened, but there was a red flag they triggered and she'd been audited twice. But because she had all her records or receipts or whatever, she got out of it twice.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is what I have. And people don't save that stuff. They're like, let's get some gas. Let's buy some, a keg for the party.
That's
let's
a really catering. Great point. Yeah. You guys grab that receipt. But you know what? Be environmental about it, because I am a little bit environmental about this.
Email it to you.
I'm starting to do that. When they say, do you want a printed one? No, email it to me.
Yeah.
Just email it
to me. Or it's just like you keep the accounts. You know, you keep them, we all know this. You keep them separate. You do all these different things.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There's a bunch of things that you stack on one on the other. So it's like, when we're talking, it's like that frenzy. It's like, okay, it's not going to be, that crazy. I mean, I think with AB5, the trucker industry already, they got
it for like a union? Is it going to be like a revamp of a union?
Like a pass or something.
Okay.
Like it doesn't affect them,
Okay.
So it's because they were lumped into that as well.
Maybe they're unionized, though.
They are.
You never know.
Well, yeah, because
they are unionized, right?
Could be it.
It could be the revamp of the union. Who knows? It could be Freelancers Union Unite.
That would be a very difficult union. No,
a lot of creative people freelancing. Well, if you are in that situation and you are, affected by AB5 right now, please email and message me and give me your story. I'd love to have you call in and share what you're going through and we can figure this out. I mean, I really want to give people some tips on how to navigate this. And your legislators, who do we need to call and write and, protest, I guess, I want to read up more about it. So I promised you guys that I would touch on it, and I know it's a hot button issue, so we're touching on it today, but we'll come in a little bit more informed next time. I think that's pretty much it on that subject. What do you guys have coming for the next quarter? We're already at the end of, we're already in March.
Yeah, we are.
With your books and your fabulous shoes and everything that you and Sean have together, and your beautiful Viva,
thousands of LLCs that we have. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what do you guys? What do you? Any events
any
events or appearances or things?
No events at this point. So the launch. Obviously, I'm focused on the launch. The shoes is the big thing. Like I said, you have 30 days, so like you can only pre-order for 30 days. So get my shoes while they're hot. They are amazing. I'm totally biased, but it's still true. And then I'll be looking at launching the next collection probably. I would would say, in the next quarter. From a creative standpoint, I have a book finished, but I've been holding off on the release because I'm like, I can't be like, buy my shoes, buy my book.
Why not? It's your world.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm actually releasing a picture book that I'm writing. I've written with our daughter, Viva.
Nice.
Yeah.
How old is she now?
She's 4 and a half.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. So, but as you would know, she was born with some physical disabilities. And she's at the point where kids kind of notice. And I'd had this great conversation with her about how comfortable she felt sort of explaining to kids why she can't run as fast as they can. And she's like, well, I just don't, you know, I don't know what to say or feel comfortable. I'm like, okay, what if I just put together kind of like a flip chart book for your school so that the teachers could read it and then the kids would understand. You don't have to say anything. She's like, oh, that's so great. So I made it. Like basically almost like a PowerPoint presentation.
I know.
But then I gave it to the teachers and they're like crying, and then I sent it to her surgeons. They're like, this is the best book on disability. Like, that's what everyone's saying. I'm like, well, now I have to go and publish it. Like, this was just, you know, for you guys. So I've kind of revamped it to include some other things, you know, because my daughter's stuff is very physical. Yeah. So then I've also, you know, got autism and Down syndrome and some other stuff in there to kind of just help kids understand why some people maybe have different abilities.
Yeah.
And there's some worksheets in there for, you know, sort of more approachable ways to kind of deal with this in the classroom and how to teach kids to be very inclusive. So that, I haven't got a date yet, but it will probably be in this next month. And then I'm writing a trilogy.
Wow. Keep being a badass, and that is amazing.
I didn't talk about my husband at all in that sentence.
That's okay, because we only have so much time. So.
He's just doing what he does.
He was on here last time. Yeah, he's amazing.
He can prove himself.
What about you? Anything coming up? Where can people find you and get your services and your help?
They can reach out to me through my Instagram, or, I mean, I have my personal one, Janelle Ocean, and so it's just J.
No relation to Frank Ocean.
No relation. J-A-N-I-E-L-L-E and then Ocean, and then Level Up Change is the other Instagram. But nice. As far as what's coming up, it's just really about, because I get different requests from different people. So it's like I got some people who are trying to build out their lines because they want to dip into it and put it on 0% for 18 to 24 months and then put it down on a house and then learn how to make money with that real estate.
Yeah. You
know? So that's a whole other thing. And then I have, you know, other people who actually want to have some funding for their business and invest in their business and maybe not use their personal funds and be in a position to start getting some corporate credit. So that's just kind of where things are kind of at and expanding, and, you know, they're doing well.
I love that. Awesome. I love that. You guys, I want to give it, you guys a rundown of some of the events I'll be doing. I, you know, listen, wash your hands, be safe. I'm using...
Monique is a badass.
I mean...
I got it. One of her events.
Thank you. We had one at Vaucluse. We had a good old time.
That was a long time ago.
But I've got some events I'm still powering through. Yes, the coronavirus is something to be aware of. I'm not going to stop my flow on that.
Just sanitize, people.
Just sanitize, wash, level up your immunity, and power on with your life. Don't live in fear. Mm-hmm. But we're doing some events. So April 25th, we're going to be at the... we're going to be in Santa Monica doing the Startup with Monique LaRay, the Entrepreneur Lab, the Spring Mixer, and that's going to be really great. I'll be announcing the brands really soon. Also, we have the Reality TV Awards, the 7th annual.
Wow.
It's May 27th, nice. And it's in Hollywood, and we're doing the gifting suite there. So the brothers that have the show here, Mark and Matthew, I'm teaming up with them. So if you are a brand and you want to get in front of those reality stars and get your brand featured there and have people, notable people, try your brand and your product and get photo assets and video assets and testimonials, that'll be a great thing. Email me, thestartupwithmoniquelaray@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, Monique LaRay Stinson, or Cap Aquarius Media. It's Capricorn and Aquarius together. And the Startup with Monique LaRay on Instagram. So you can find me on either three of those or on Facebook. And I'm also still doing my wine stuff. So we have a lot of great things coming. I want to say thank you to my sponsors, Michael Solberg Family Wines. Find them on Instagram and on, you know, on the web. Leah Solberg is second generation winemaker there and a good family friend of ours. And we also have Nadira Healing Arts. She does a lot of readings, a lot of energy healings. She's great. She'll be down here next month. Who else do we have? We have Jennifer McCray at Control Alt Gin. If you want to Control Alt Delete and restart your life, that's her.
Nice.
And she'll help you with that. Isn't that great? It's pretty great. And then we also have Archery Jewelry, Loda out in Bali that makes the beautiful jewelry that we've been featuring a lot of our stuff. And on International Women's Day, a shout out to her. And also want to give a shout out to Regan Medical, Regan First Medical in Costa Mesa. They've got the Big O shot, the orgasm shot, the vampire facial, and a lot of beautiful skincare products there with Dr. Bogard. So thank you so much, you guys. And what will you start up today? We'll see you next week.
Get at it, ladies.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.